Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap for Sunday, April 22nd. Charlie here with you. How is everybody? I'm sure you are all fired up. Brewers sweep the Marlins. Bucks even up the series against the Celtics. It is sunny. Weather is good. Snow is melting. Everything is in our favor here in the state of Wisconsin. Hope you guys are having as good of a weekend as I am. It has been a fun one. I'm very excited to talk about the Bucks evening up the series today and then also talk about the Brewers sweep. But before we do, you know where to find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play. You can also subscribe on SoundCloud, Stitcher, whatever your preference is, we are there for you. So let's get into this topics. The Milwaukee Bucks have evened the series. It is now 2-2, heading back to Boston on Tuesday night for a pivotal Game 5, where we'll see if the Celtics can regain their magic. Now, it was an interesting game. The Bucks came out a little cold, a little tight to start. Celtics delivered the first punch, and then Milwaukee came back with a huge uppercut with a furious run to end the first quarter. Matthew Dellavedova with maybe the hustle play of the year. It was just an amazing play to end the quarter, give the Bucks a 7-point lead. They kept the pressure on in the second quarter. The Bucks pushed the lead out to 16 at halftime. They looked really good. I mean, everything was working. You guys saw a lot of Jabari, a lot of Thon Maker again. The Dellavedova over Eric Bledsoe continues to be a little bit of a thing. Malcolm Brogdon was playing. I mean, everything was clicking. It looked well. But then the Celtics started to come back. The Celtics have been really good about coming back this year. Sean Grandy, their radio broadcaster, had this thing about all these different times the Celtics have come back from large deficits. So this was old hat to them. The Celtics battled back, and it made this a game. Jaylen Brown, I mean, what more can you say? Jaylen Brown's obviously having a breakout year. He is going to be an integral part of what will be a big three or big four for the Celtics next season with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. I mean, Jaylen Brown is, I think if you're trying to get a Kawhi Leonard or an Anthony Davis, which is ridiculous that Celtic fans think Anthony Davis can even be tradable at this point with how he's playing for the Pelicans, Jaylen Brown has to be the first person you ask and say there's no deal without Jaylen Brown. I mean, the guy's a stud. He's a potential NBA All-Star. He has been, Bucks have had zero answer for Jaylen, and he continues to be great. I mean, 34 points in this one. He's the first rookie or first guy under the age of 21 to have back-to-back or multiple 30-point performances since Derrick Rose. So quite an accomplishment for the forward out of Cal. So yeah, the Celtics made a game. I mean, it all of a sudden became this back-and-forth battle with the Bucks and the Seas. And both teams were trading punches, but the Bucks got the final one with a Giannis tip-in at the last minute. The Celtics had a chance to tie. Marcus Morris came up short on a fadeaway. I have no idea what Brad Stevens said. The original plan was to get it at a kick out to Rozier, but Brogdon made the switch. I still don't know why Terry Rozier is taking the last shot. I get that he had a clutch bucket in game one, but wouldn't you have gone to Jaylen Brown? Wouldn't you let Jaylen Brown be the kind of the guy that who's got you there? Let him finish off the deal. I wasn't really sure about that from Stevens, but we'll take it, right? The Bucks get it even, and now they do have an opportunity to steal one in Boston and then head back to complete the Bucks in six on Thursday night. And I got to be honest with you guys, so we'll have some honesty time. I, for a long time, have never really been a huge fan of the Bucks in six. I thought it was kind of cheesy, cheap. It was referring to a time where the Bucks were pretty bad. I mean, they weren't good. And then they lost, I think in five, maybe lost in four, but it was bad. I mean, it was just something that I thought was sort of cheesy, never really worked. And now I've kind of embraced it. Like I've kind of said, okay, this is, I wouldn't say it's cool, but it's nice. I mean, it is a fun thing. And yeah, the fact that the Bucks can actually get a chance to complete it is amazing. And it's very similar to what happened in 2010 in the Eastern Conference Finals against Al Horford, who played on the Hawks team, where the Bucks went down 2-0. They came back with two big games winning game three and game four, and then winning game five in Atlanta, only to get just absolutely shit canned at home for game six, and then getting blown out in game seven. So the Bucks sort of fell apart. Like, they ran out of gas. Let's hope that is not the same thing here. And if the Bucks can force it back to Milwaukee with all the momentum, they know they can win in Boston. I'm not sure the Celtics know they can win in Milwaukee. I think the Celtics, as a young team, they definitely showed their age in the last. I mean, Tatum hit some big shots, Brown hit some big shots, but at the end of the day, the Bucks' talent is winning out. They have more bodies. Joe Prunty not playing Matthew Dellavedova in the fourth quarter is a crime. See, he didn't play Jabari Parker either. Now, Jabari had a really good first half. Third quarter was eh. And then, so he didn't really play much in the fourth. So I don't know if his third quarter performance kind of got him the yank, and the Bucks were just going to go with the guys that kind of got them there or that were part of it. But man, I would have loved to see Delly and Jabari both get some action in the fourth quarter. Prunty was really lucky that didn't bite him in the ass, because I think if the Bucks were to lose this game and go down 3-1, we would be saying Prunty would be wearing some of that blame. I think the officiating was terrible. I get some Celtics fans are mad about the Jaylen Brown sort of sprint out in the final minute, but the refs were awful all game. I mean, they gave the Celtics more of a favorable whistle yet again at the BMO Harris Bradley Center, which makes zero sense to me. So we'll see what happens with Game 5. I mean, we'll talk about it, obviously, on the Daily Tap on Monday, and then for Tuesday, and get ourselves ready, and then recap it on Wednesday before tapping the keg on before the Thursday game to get you ready for Game 6 as well as the NBA draft. You ask yourself, you know, you go back and you think, like, this team could easily be up 3-1 heading to Boston. They could easily have a chance to win this series in Boston if it weren't for an overtime, you know, kind of an overtime collapse, or Celtics hitting a lot of key shots, and also Joe Prunty not figuring out that Thon Maker needed to be out on this court, and that John Henson's back injury forced Thon's way on here. And we'd have no idea. So that question is who is the guy that's kind of the odd man out? Is it Zeller? I mean, Zeller's had an awful playoffs. I mean, I like Tyler Zeller. I thought he did a good job in the regular season, but he has really struggled in the playoffs. And he's one of the few that have struggled. I mean, we know Bledsoe had a couple of big shots down the stretch, but man, he's been woeful on defense. He's turning the ball over in transition. The fact that he only had one turnover does not feel like it's an indicative. Like, he felt like he had at least five. I think you're gonna see, I'm trying to think what really we'll see from the Bucks in game five. About, you know, Chris Middleton continues to be just an absolute assassin. He had 23, 6, and 6, 3 threes. Middleton had some big shots as well. I mean, Giannis did have another big game with 27, 7, and 5. Throwing down that dunk over Al Horford was fantastic, because Al Horford's been such a bitch in this series. And then he played so well, especially down the stretch, and carried the team. And Brogdon said himself after the game, he said, "We have the best player. We have the best player on the court. We're going to rely on him, and he's going to take us there." And that was absolutely right. Thon Maker, first guy since DeAndre Jordan in 2014 playoffs to have five blocks in back-to-back games. It's clear that he's affecting shots, and I still have no idea where it's come from. I don't think any of us could have predicted this. Thon Maker was literally one of the worst players on this team all year. No lie. And I don't know what changed. I don't know if he just stopped thinking and just started playing basketball, if he was out of position and the coaching staff said, "Thon, do this, not that." I mean, I have no idea what changed in Thon Maker, but he was tremendous. The entire bench was in the plus in the PER category. Funny enough, the Bucks starters, only Chris Middleton was a plus zero, so he didn't have a PER, but the rest of them were in the negatives, which is very fascinating. Not really surprising with guys like Bledsoe and Zeller, but Giannis being a minus eight in the PER category is quite interesting. So more to come. I do think the Bucks have a bit of an advantage. It's very interesting that ABC was talking about Marcus Smart potentially being back for game six. That is a huge, huge, huge wrinkle. Smart will definitely affect some of what Chris Middleton's been doing, and I think that will be definitely something to watch, and definitely something that the Bucks have to be cognizant of. And it maybe puts more of an importance on winning this one in Boston on on Tuesday night. It's, you know, it'll be a fired up crowd. You know that they're going to be in their cups, ready to go. It'll be it. The first quarter is going to matter in a big way, and we'll talk more about it. But yes, can't say enough about the Bucks. They can't be more impressed. I'm just very happy. I think if you would have asked me on Thursday, would this be 2-2 heading back to Boston? I'd said there's a chance. I mean, Mitch and I talked about it, and we were like, well, maybe they'll just do this. Maybe they'll just come back, and they'll be 2-2, and we'll forget all about this. And lo and behold, that is what happened. And the Bucks look like a little bit of a different team, and maybe the fact that they don't have that long of a layoff, and they're just sort of playing basketball, they know that they can come back to Boston and give a game one effort. I believe in the Bucks. I think they get it done. I think they can win game five and then try to win game six. It'd be an incredible turn of events, but the Bucks are the better team. We knew this from the go, and now we're kind of starting to see it as the series progresses. Also, in other Wisconsin topics, Wisconsin sports topics, the Milwaukee Brewers got it done. They have their first four-game sweep at home since 2008. Hard to believe it's been that long, but you don't see a lot of four-game sweeps very often. The Brewers get it done with a 4-2 victory. The bullpen, again, was fantastic. Junior Guerra got into some trouble in the sixth, only to have Jeremy Jeffries maneuver out of a bases-loaded, no-out jam, and it was fantastic. He was all fired up. He was fired up like it was a playoff game, like he was in the playoff game, not the Milwaukee Bucks. Matt Albers did his job. Josh Hader did give up a run, but he got a two-inning save again. Hader looked good, and the Brewers roll on. Their sixth straight victory. They will go for number seven in Kansas City on Tuesday night. They are right at the top of the division. Everything's clicking right now for the Brewers. They look really good. And it's not one player. And I think that is the exciting thing. Is like last night, they scrapped and clawed their way back, down 5-1. You know, I kind of was like, well, you lose this game, it's not the end of the world. Brett Suter's probably the weakest link in your rotation at this point. So it's like, you know, you lose this one, move on, whatever. They kept fighting, they kept clawing, and then Jesus Aguilar, 13-pitch walk-off home run to win it. Aguilar stays hot. He had another pretty decent day today out on the diamond. So the Brewers are doing things. I mean, they're doing it with a lot of different guys, and I think that is the exciting thing, as that one guy isn't carrying the entire team. And the offense getting going is much needed. Now, they struggled today. So Kansas City's been okay, but those are another two games the Brewers can take advantage of. And I know the haters will say, well, they should beat the Reds. They should beat the Marlins. They should beat the Royals. These are all inferior teams to the Brewers. Sure, but there's a difference between they should win to they actually winning. Like, you still have to win. You play to win the game. You still have to win. If the Brewers went 5-2, and went 5-2 on this seven gamer, we'd probably still say, yeah, that's good. That's a good job by the Brewers. Would have maybe liked, but 6-1, I mean, that's fantastic. And you're on a six game winning streak. So you keep it up and you realize that this is good stuff from the Brewers, and you're beating teams that you're supposed to. And if you beat teams that you're supposed to, it's gonna give you a great deal of confidence against the teams that are maybe, you know, that are at your level, like the Cubs next weekend. I mean, that's a huge series in Chicago at Wrigley Field, four-gamer. I'm actually going to be curious to see if Craig Counsell decides to bump Chase Anderson back. Chase Anderson scheduled to pitch Wednesday. I'd almost wonder if he'd be better off pitching Thursday, since the Brewers would not have Anderson for the entire series against the Cubs. And or they skip a spot in the rotation and he ends up going on Sunday instead of Junior Guerra. I'm not sure what Craig would end up doing, or Zach Davies, I guess. So I don't know. I think he has an interesting sort of, you know, decision to make there, because I'd rather see Anderson going in game one against the Cubs versus pitching against the Royals. But, you know, to each their own. I mean, I think Craig's shown before that he has confidence in all his guys, so he'll probably stick with that trend. So Thursday's shaping up to be quite the loaded night. You get the NFL draft, you have the Bucks game six, and you have the first of four for the Brewers and the Cubs. Should be awesome. Cubs could be without Chris Bryant as well. He got hit in the head with a pitch this afternoon. They say he doesn't have a concussion, has a laceration above his eye. We'll see if KB is able to go, because that could be a huge difference maker if they do not have Bryant for that series. So, yes, you know, I think I think there's nothing. The only real thing to worry about with the Brewers right now is a couple guys are struggling at the plate. Eric Sogard and Domingo Santana. If Arcia basically is going to be out, and I said this yesterday, but it bears repeating. If Arcia is going to be out long term, they have to put him on the DL quickly and not have Sogard take up all these at bats, because the guy clearly just. He's struggling. I don't know if him playing every day, especially hitting six, I don't get that from Council at all. If anything, he should be down in the order. Now, Pena is going to be back, which is nice. And then Domingo Santana, we'll see if Domingo gets time. Right now, he's kind of the odd man out with Eric Thames hitting the baseball well, Jesus Aguilar hitting the ball well. Santana's kind of in this limited role. He's kind of this pinch hitter at this point. He doesn't play good enough defense to say, well, he can be out there for his defense. That's really not a thing. So we'll see if Santana can kind of bring it back to life here in the next couple of weeks. I'm sure he'll get an opportunity to start at some point, as giving Braun a day off or something like that, as Braun is known to take those days off. So maybe he does get a nod on Tuesday and Braun gets the day off. So we'll be back for Monday. We'll probably talk about the Packers NFL draft, as well as go through what all happened in the world of sports over the weekend. Talk about the NBA playoffs, where they sit. We already have a couple teams into the second round. Maybe have some more. The only one we could have is the Warriors, and I think they're trailing as I tape this. So we may have both the Warriors and Pelicans in. If we do, we'll chat about that series. And we'll also talk about what else is going on. I think the Blazer situation is very interesting to monitor, as well as we'll see if Cleveland goes down 3-1. They play tonight, so we will talk about that on Monday. So thanks for listening, guys. We will be back, and remember, the Bucks in six. All right, take care. Have a good one. Bye.